Welcome to the radio broadcast of the Missionary Baptist Church. It is our prayer that today's sermon will be a blessing to your heart as we all strive together to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. Open your Bible now to the 20th Psalm, and that is going to be on page 515 in your pew Bible. Will you stand with me and honor the Word of God? And we covered the first four verses last week. We'll look at verses 5 through 9 tonight. So Psalm number 20, starting in verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Be seated, please. Psalm 20 and verse 5, we read the words, "We will rejoice in thy salvation." And there are several reasons that the verses before us give for rejoicing in the salvation of the Lord. Now, of course, these are not all the reasons that we could give for rejoicing. If we were to do that, we'd need to meet probably every night and probably for a good month or more if we wanted to discuss every single reason we could possibly have to rejoice in the salvation of the Lord. But there are four reasons in the text that we'll cover tonight, and I hope it'll help you to renew and refresh the rejoicing in your heart for the wonderful gift of salvation that God has given you. The first reason is because the salvation of the Lord is a no-so salvation. No-so, K-N-O-W. You can know you're saved. That's the first reason. Secondly, we can rejoice in his salvation because his salvation is the ground upon which he hears our prayers and answers them. The third cause of our rejoicing is that we can depend upon God Almighty for all things. And the fourth reason that we'll look at tonight is that no matter what happens to anybody else, we will ultimately enjoy victory. Amen. So four reasons tonight for which we can rejoice in the salvation of the Lord. We will rejoice in thy salvation. The first reason that we can rejoice then is because we have a no-so salvation. Notice verse 6 of chapter 20. And what's the second word there? Now what? Know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. And that's page 515 if you need a copy of the scripture there. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. Aren't you glad that David didn't write down in the passage there? He could have probably written if he wanted to. Well, he couldn't because he's writing under the inspiration of God. But I'm glad he didn't say, "Well, now I think the Lord saveth his anointed." He didn't say, "Well, now I sure hope that the Lord saveth his anointed." But his was a confident statement of absolute, definite assurance. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. You know, there's a lot of people who are under the mistaken impression that you cannot know whether you'll go to heaven or not. Many times whenever I give out the gospel, I often start by handing the person a gospel tract, and I'll say something like, "This will tell you how you can know for sure you'll go to heaven." And you'd be amazed how many times somebody will say to me, "You can't know that for sure. I don't think anybody can know that." Well, can you? Of course you can. The Bible says it here. And anybody know another verse that the Bible tells us we can know that we'll go to heaven? I'll give it to you, because I already looked it up. I always have an advantage on you, because I know the answer in advance. But here's a verse you ought to memorize, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. And what does it say? "These things write I unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life." A very important verse in the scripture, because it says you can know, it says you know that you have, present tense, eternal life. I said everlasting, the verse actually says eternal, they're synonyms. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." And the tense is very important there, because it doesn't say that you will have someday. You know, even Christians sometimes have the idea, "Well, I'm saved and so I will have eternal life when my body dies." But that's not actually true. Do you know, if you know Jesus as your Savior tonight, you presently have eternal life. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It's present tense. I possess eternal life because I possess the giver of eternal life, namely Jesus Christ. The previous verse says, he that has the Son has eternal life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. And so if you have Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. Present tense. Now if it's eternal life, when does it end? It never ends. Eternal life never ends. So if you have it now, and it never ends, then when can you ever not have it? Never. In other words, eternal life is eternal life. It's permanent. You cannot lose your salvation, because if you could, then God couldn't say you have, present tense, eternal life. If it could end, then you couldn't call it eternal life. And so it's a wonderful verse of assurance of salvation, that I can know that the Lord saveth his anointed. And I can know that I have eternal life. Now, when can I know that? Well, David says here in verse 6, now know I. I can know it now. You don't have to wait till later. Based on the scriptures, we know we have eternal life. Isn't that good news tonight? And so the very first reason in Psalm chapter 20 for which we can rejoice in the salvation of the Lord is because it's a no-so salvation. No more hoping, no more wondering, no more doubting, no more, well, I think I might make it. No, I know. The second reason tonight that we can rejoice in the salvation of the Lord is that His salvation is the basis upon which God hears and answers our prayers. In other words, it's the grounds for answered prayer. Notice the second part of verse number 6 there. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. And here again we have terms of assurance. This verse leaves no room for doubt or speculation. He will hear. Doesn't say he might hear. He will hear. Call unto me, says Jeremiah 33:3, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. He will hear. And notice that God hearing from his holy heaven is connected to the saving strength of his right hand. Now why is that important? Who's at the right hand of God? The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God, and therefore Christ is the strength of salvation, and being at the right hand of God, what's he doing there? He's making intercession for us. Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know, the previous verse in verse 5 says, the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. We can go to God with our prayers and petitions with confidence and boldness, knowing that He hears because Christ is interceding for us. 1 John 5:13, I quoted to you a moment ago. Let me take you now to verse 14, which says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Just as certainly as we can know that we have eternal life, we also have the confidence that He hears us when we pray. And verse 15 says, if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. The truth of the matter is, the Scripture teaches that all the promises of God are yea and amen. If we are praying in the will of God according to this, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired. In other words, what's the answer to your prayer requests when you're praying in the will of God? It's yes. The answer is yes. And you don't even have to wonder about it. It's something about which we can have certainty. Why? Because God is not answering our prayers on the grounds of our worthiness. If it had to do with whether or not we were worthy, I kind of laugh. A lot of times people have the idea that if they didn't get their prayers answered, it's because they either didn't pray enough, or they didn't have enough faith, or they didn't do this, or they didn't do that, or they didn't do the other. You know why God didn't answer that person's prayers? Because their focus is on here, they, this. They didn't do, they didn't do, I didn't do, I didn't do, I didn't do. The grounds upon which God answers our prayers has nothing to do with us, just like the grounds of our salvation has nothing to do with us. The only thing we have to do with salvation is we're the recipients, yes? Well, guess what? The only thing we have to do with answered prayers is to be the recipients. In other words, just as salvation is by grace through faith, so is answered prayer. The same confidence and knowledge that we had in verse 13 of 1 John chapter 5 that we're saved is the same exact confidence and assurance that we have in verse 14 that He hears our prayer, and the same exact confidence and assurance in verse 15 that He's going to answer our prayer. Amen. Problem is, all too often, we focus down here instead of where our focus belongs up there. Be assured of this, God will hear and answer your prayers, not because you and I are worthy. Truth of the matter is, we're not worthy to have God answer our prayers, are we? But because we go to Him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by the authority of Christ that we make our petitions to God. It's in His name that we appeal to God. It's based on the worthiness of Christ that we go to Him. The same reason we're going to heaven is the same reason we can expect our prayers to be answered. Not because of us, but because of Christ. That's why when we pray, oftentimes you'll hear somebody say, in Christ's name, or do it for the sake of Jesus. Because, really, if it's for our sake, we might as well not pray. So it's very easy to have that assurance that I know God's going to answer my prayer. You know, I think the reason a lot of times people don't pray is because they don't have that assurance. But if we will adopt that assurance that is given to us in the Scriptures and simply pray. You say, well, what if I'm not in God's will? Well, just pretend you are and pray like you are. And God will let you know if you're not. You know, we go back to the classic example of, well, I sure was praying a long time for that new Corvette. You know immediately that's not God's will. Have any of you kids ever gone to your parents and gone to them like this? I know you're going to say no, but... And then you ask Him anyway. And of course, what's the answer? The answer is no. You yourself predicted it. Well, don't ask the Lord for something that you know He's going to say no to. Easiest way to get your prayers answered is to ask Him for something you know He's going to say yes to. Amen? Now, one thing we're for sure that He'll always say yes to is for His power and His Spirit. Remember in the parable, Jesus talked about the man that his son asked him for bread, and he wasn't going to give him a stone. And the other one asked for a fish. The Bible says He wouldn't give him a serpent for a fish. And then He said, if you being evil can give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Spirit to them that ask Him? And so it's just a matter of asking. We saw this the other night with the woman at the well. If you knew, you would have asked and He would have given, Jesus said. Well, listen, we do know. So let's ask and He'll give. Amen. The third reason for which we may rejoice in the salvation of the Lord is because we can depend upon Him in all things. Verse 7 says that some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. What a contrast we have here in this verse between man's strength and God's strength. And I'm struck by the similarity between this verse, by the way, David is the human author of this psalm, it's a psalm of David, and we see a striking similarity between the words of verse 7 and the words that David cried out to Goliath when he was going to fight him in 1 Samuel 17:45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest unto me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, some in swords, some in spears, some in shields, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. Of course, the context of this passage is battle or warfare. But you know, you can take the truth that this passage is teaching and apply it to everyday life. You could put it this way. When it comes to your health, some trust in doctors and some in diets. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. When it comes to finances, some trust in credit card companies. And some trust in careers. But we will remember the name of the Lord. When it comes to wisdom and knowledge, some trust in education, some in experience. But we will remember the Lord. When it comes to, you name it, what is it we're trusting? You know, so often we trust what we can do. We trust the strength of our hand. We trust our own knowledge. We trust our own ability. When it comes to everyday life, when it comes to how do I handle this situation, we can remember the name of the Lord. We need to remember that the Lord is with us, that we have the authority of the Lord. That's what it means when we remember the name of the Lord. Even when it comes to church building, you know, some trust in their programs, and some trust in their preacher's personal prowess. But those are the wrong things in which to invest our trust. If the Lord build not the house, they labor in vain that build it. And there's no sense in even putting forth the effort if we're not going to trust in the Lord. Even when it comes to salvation, some trust in churches, some in tradition. But the only way to be saved is to trust in the name of the Lord. And the reason for that is because the Lord our God is the only one who is trustworthy. The bank isn't trustworthy. The teacher isn't trustworthy. The preacher sure isn't trustworthy. The van out there is not trustworthy, Steve. It started spewing coolant Sunday night. When we came back, it was overheating. I don't know if there's a leak there. That's not trustworthy. In guns and tanks and army ranks, the song says, is not our confidence. We must trust in the Lord. And you know, if you're trusting in the Lord and you're in His will, it doesn't matter how overwhelming the odds may be against us. Because God can always overcome the odds. God's bigger than our circumstances. He is trustworthy. Man and the devices of man will ultimately fail, but Jesus never fails. And so we can rejoice in His salvation because we can always trust Him come what may. Whatever happens, we know that God will see us through it. We know that even if it's something that seems tragic, that God can give us the strength to face it. I tell you, we dare not trust in our reasoning abilities. We dare not trust in our ability to solve this problem or that one. There might be family problems. There might be problems with our friends. We can trust in the Lord, and we can trust Him to work it out for our good. Good reason for rejoicing in the salvation of the Lord. Then the last reason in the text, and as I said, we could all probably give more reasons than these for rejoicing in the salvation of the Lord. But the last reason we have in our text that we rejoice in His salvation is that no matter what happens, or to whom it happens, or what's going on in anyone else's life, we will enjoy ultimate victory as Christians. Notice verse number 8. They are brought down and fallen. Who? Who are they? They are those who trust in chariots and those who trust in horses. I'll tell you, if you're trusting in your bankster to keep you out of financial trouble, if you're trusting in the market, if you're trusting in Social Security, I'll tell you, they shall fall. They shall be brought down. They are brought down and fallen. A horse can only carry you so far. And once He's carried you that last step, that's it. But the Lord can carry us all the way. You think about this. Why are they brought down? They're brought down because they're trusting in the wrong thing. When we trust in the wrong things, when we're trusting in our own abilities, when we're trusting in the abilities of other human beings, when we're trusting in whatever, if we could trust in doctors or banks or education or whatever, that sooner or later is going to fail us. Because the Lord will allow us to get into situations where we have to trust Him for our own good. The illustration I've given before, and I hope it hasn't been worn out, is that spare tire illustration. How come is it that we never think about that spare tire until we get a flat tire? You know, shamefully, a lot of time, we don't mind the Lord until the minute we're in trouble. And as soon as we're in trouble, then, I hope that tire's got air. Lord, I hope you're there, because I got trouble. Well, you know, I think that, using the analogy, the Lord let the tire go flat to remind us. You know what I mean? Sometimes He'll let these heartaches come into our life just to remind us how much we need Him. It's for our own good. But you know, when you trust in the Lord, notice the last part of this. They are brought down and fallen. And they're brought down and fallen by their own devices, because they trusted in their own strength. But we are risen and stand upright. Well, think of the word risen. Doesn't the word risen imply that you were down to begin with? You see, they are brought down and fallen. They set themselves up with haughty pride and they were brought down. We were already down, and once we realized it, He brought us up. And He stood us up. He stood us upright. Now, we don't stand upright on our own strength, because, again, it's our strength that caused us to fall to begin with. But in the strength of the Lord, we can overcome any difficulty. And remember again that passage of Scripture that says, the just man falleth seven times, and what? Riseth again. How? In the strength of the Lord. And so my encouragement tonight is simply to trust in the Lord and to rejoice in His salvation. And we've got several reasons to do so. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and love, and we do thank You for the gift of eternal life that is ours by grace through faith. We do ask, Holy Father, that You'd constantly remind us to trust You, to depend upon You, to rely upon You. Lord, we don't have enough wisdom of our own to deal with life's difficulties. We're certainly bound to fall and falter whenever we get to relying on our own ability. Help us, Father, to be dependent completely upon You. And we do consciously and deliberately yield ourselves to You and to the leadership of Your Holy Spirit tonight, asking You, Lord, to meet the needs about which we'll pray this evening, those that are recorded here and others. And we ask You, Holy Father, for Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd like to invite you to join us at the Missionary Baptist Church for Sunday school at 10 a.m., for morning worship at 11 a.m., or for the evening worship at 7 p.m. We also have a midweek service on Wednesday at 7 p.m. We're located at 507 South 14th Street in Lamar, Colorado. If you need prayer or any additional information, please call our church office at 719-336-4174.
All creatures of our God and King, Alleluia.